If you turn with me in your Bibles to the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter 7 and verses 13 and 14, and this will be our text for today. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14. Jesus said, "Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat, because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." The title of my message this morning is "The Broad Way and the Narrow Way." We must ask ourselves this morning, which road am I on? Which way am I living? And we must answer this honestly, as the eternal destiny of our soul depends upon it. We note the great contrast between the two ways, the broad way, the narrow way. The broad way has a wide gate. The narrow way has a small gate. The broad way is a broad road. The narrow way is a narrow road. The broad way is a popular path. The narrow way is a very personal path. The broad way takes us to a devastating life and ends in God's judgment forever. The narrow way gives us a joyful life with the Lord and ends in eternal heaven with God. So we consider the broad way. Every human being starts life from the day of their birth on this broad way through the wide gate, because we all inherit Adam's fallen nature. As you know, initially Adam started life on the narrow road, being created perfect by God. But he sinned. He broke God's commandment not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. We read of this in Genesis chapter 3, the fall of man, the fall of Adam. And we inherit that fall. So all mankind is naturally moving on the broad way, using the wide gate. We are born to it, all of us. The common attitude is that one can live as we like. We can write our own standards, set our own morals. We're not intrinsically bad, we think. There is good in everyone, or the vast majority. And so God must accept us, however we live, whatever we believe. Surely, we think, it's our sincerity which matters. And this attitude is held by people of all levels of life in our society. Our rulers, presidents, prime ministers, rich and poor, everyone. Because this is our first thought. We inherit it from Adam. But the Lord Jesus speaks in our text of the narrow way, which is entered through a small gate, a straight gate. We use the word straight to describe a narrow strip of water between two pieces of land, and which joins two larger areas of water. A strait is a narrow way of water between land joining two larger areas of water. And in his mercy, God has provided a small gate, a straight gate, for us to leave the broad way so as to be able to travel towards eternal heaven and arrive there safely, which is so important. We need his help to find this small gate, this straight gate. John Bunyan, in his beautiful allegory, Pilgrim's Progress, introduces us to Pilgrim, who was living in the city of destruction, like us, living in the Broadway, born there. And by the way, C.H. Spurgeon read Pilgrim's Progress about 100 times. He loved it next to the Bible. Pilgrim hears of the celestial city, heaven, the city of God, that beautiful city with many mansions. We read of those, Christ going to prepare mansions for believers to live in eternity. Pilgrim heard the gospel, speaking of there being only one way to this heaven, to the celestial city. He is convicted of his sin, feeling it as a burden on his back, and desires to leave the city of destruction and go to the celestial city. But he has a problem. He doesn't know the way. Let's follow Pilgrim and find that way. Pilgrim meets Evangelist, who kindly points him to what he calls the wicket gate, through which he must go to get rid of his sin burden, so as to get to the celestial city. This is the narrow gate, the straight gate in our text. But on the way, Pilgrim meets Mr. Worldly Wise Man, who confuses him with worldly thoughts, saying that he should ignore Evangelist and forget all thoughts of the guilt of his sin. Surely that only makes you sad. No, try this way. Try to do your best and keep God's law. That's the way to go. As you earn favor with God by living as best as you can, you'll be allowed by God into the celestial city as a good person. But beware, this is a lie of the devil. Mr. Worldly Wise Man lurks in our natural thinking and thoughts. Maybe he's nagging away at us too, to ignore the gospel call and to go the way of good works. That must be the broad way. It's wide open. The Lord warns us that there are many on this way, each with their own view, and many on this way of good, their own view of goodness and morality, many religions with many man-made ideas, but none of them lead to heaven. They do not bring peace for the soul with our Creator God. There is no way to heaven through man-made religions. The Muslim way, Buddhism, Hinduism, Mormonism, Jehovah's Witnesses, even Roman Catholicism, formal religion, and atheism. These and all the other religions of the world cannot give you peace with God, cannot take you to this wonderful place of heaven that God is preparing for his faithful. So, also, beware of those who preach a soft, man-friendly gospel. To love Jesus, he died for you. Yes, we should love Jesus if he died for us, if we believe that. But that's not enough. We have to do more than love Jesus. So erroneous preaching, which leaves out a call of repentance to sincere repentance and true faith in the Savior, and a sincere personal turning to him as our Lord, turning from our sin. We must avoid that erroneous preaching and not listen to it. Those are the words of Mr. Worldly Wise Man. We must beware of ecumenical religion, where promoting the idea that all ways lead to God, all religions are acceptable to him. That is not the case. He's given us his word, which we must read and trust and obey. When Thomas asked the Lord Jesus the way to heaven, show us the way, he said. In John 14:6, the Lord Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The Christian way, explained so clearly in God's word, the Bible, is often claimed by those on the broad way to be too narrow, very judgmental, and unloving. Well, yes, we know this in one sense, and I'll explain that in a moment. But these people know that it differs from their view of life, exposing the error of their ways. And so they criticize it and reject it. So we do accept that the narrow way is narrow because God has given clear and specific details of that Christian way. God says to us, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." A standard too high for us to achieve, but it's still God's standard. But the narrow way is certainly not judgmental or unloving, for God in his grace has provided a means for us to come to him. The broad way is the popular way. It's the popular path taken by so many. There's so many on it. And we might feel happy in a crowd going the same way as others, compromising with them. And it suits them. It allows them to live just as they like. And they're very happy to have so many companions with them. And they say all ways lead to God. We just have to be sincere. Again, the lie of Satan, who says, "Hath God said?" If ever you get a doubt or a fear come into your mind, you know the author of that. It will be Satan, who seeks for you not to go to heaven, for you to bring glory to the name of the Lord. So a warning, do not be deceived. You can be sincerely wrong with devastating consequences. So we must stop and ask ourselves, do I reject any of the Bible teaching of the gospel? I'll repeat that question. Ask yourself, do I reject any of the Bible teaching of the gospel? The gospel of Jesus Christ tells us that we are all sinners in the sight of our Creator, the Holy God. A clear statement. But we may think, surely not. I find that offensive. You may argue that you do not see yourself as a sinner in that way. You consider yourself to be basically good, not wicked. But the gospel truth says in Romans 3:23 that we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And in 1 John 1 verse 8, familiar verse again, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. And in 1 John 1 verse 9, John goes on to say, we make God a liar. So don't say you have no sin, because you're making God a liar. That's a very dangerous position to put yourself in. So if we do this, we're rejecting God's gospel truth. We are following the advice of Mr. Worldly Wise Man. Ignore evangelist, ignore the gospel, go and do the best you can, says he. So we must ask, what is sin? This is an important question. Sin is a lack of perfect conformity to God's holiness. Sin is a lack of perfect conformity to God's holiness. Now, God has kindly given us the Ten Commandments. They cannot save us, but they can show us our sin. And the Lord Jesus summarized the Ten Commandments in Matthew 22, verse 37 to 40, where he said, Jesus said to the lawyer, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. and the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Summarized by our Lord in that way. And if we study the Ten Commandments in detail, we'll see they fall into these two headings and challenges of our Lord. Now, we must ask ourselves, do we keep the law of God every day? Well, the honest answer is no, we do not. Because we have maybe hated, we have lied, we have stolen, we have lusted, we have been disobedient, unfaithful, we have coveted, we have not loved the Lord as we should. And so the honest answer is yes, we need to keep those commandments. Have we kept the Lord's Day holy and set apart for God? No, we haven't. Have we kept these every day? And the honest answer is no. One sin in God's sight is one too many. He's looking for perfection. He will not find it in us. He's found it in his own Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, perfect God, perfect man. You know the occurrence of Nicodemus coming to the Lord, and he was surprised when the Lord said to him, you must be born again, in John 3, verses 3 to 7. Now the new birth, this is the work of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, which brings us through the wicket gate, the narrow straight gate, and it brings us immediately to the foot of the cross, burdened by the guilt of our many sins. Pilgrim had to experience the thundering and lightning of Mount Sinai, the law, when he strayed away from what evangelists said to him, when he followed the guidance of Mr. Worldly Wiseman, and he tried to live perfectly before God. He was brought to Mount Sinai, and the thunderings and threatening of God's holiness was brought to him, made him very afraid, and so it should us. Thankfully, evangelist met him again and points him to the wicket gate. And after entering through it, Pilgrim came to the foot of the cross, the beginning of his release from the burden of his sin. He saw by faith, which is the gift of God, a Savior dying to save him. He saw the Son of God on that cross in agony and pain. He saw the physical excruciating pain and the spiritual pain which the Lord was gladly receiving as he was punished for Pilgrim's sin, which Pilgrim deserved for each of his sins. Christ did this for every believer. We thought on Wednesday of the joy that was set before him when the Lord came to save his people. Thankfully, the Lord has provided this remedy. It was necessary for God the Son to come as perfect man, Emmanuel, God with us. And he is the only man, the only human being, because he is perfect God and perfect man, to keep God's holy law and to keep it perfectly. Hence, he could die upon the cross of Calvary to take our punishment upon himself, an acceptable substitute. He rose again on the third day as the victorious Savior. Pilgrim believed this. Pilgrim repented, and his guilty burden of his sin rolled away. What joy. Do you believe Christ did this for you, to save you? Have you felt your burden of guilt of sin taken away, as Pilgrim did? Pilgrim had now entered the narrow way. This strait, this narrow gate, has been made available by Christ's death on the cross and by his resurrection. Another great I am saying of the Lord when he said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. John 10:9. This way may seem narrow because it is the only gate by which we can come to God. It is a narrow gate. We have to come through it individually, personally. We cannot come in a crowd. Today is the day of grace, so this gate is still open. Today, everyone is invited, including you, if you have not been through it before. Remember, the Lord Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Do we believe this without adding anything to it and without taking anything away from it? C.H. Spurgeon said, there is an inherent blasphemy in seeking to add to what Jesus Christ in his dying moments declared to be finished, or to improve that in which the Lord Jehovah finds perfect satisfaction. A challenge. Many like the broad way because it is popular, but the narrow way can seem to be a lonely way. You can only enter it as an individual. Salvation is a personal and an individual experience. With God's help, we have to separate ourselves from our sin and this evil world, turning our back on old habits. Repentance is turning from sin with a strong desire to move in the opposite direction. A heart change from loving sin to hating it, as God does. A separation from sin and all who will lead us astray. When we come to Christ in sincere repentance and faith, he has promised to be with us, lead us, and guide us through the rest of our life. With Christ, it is not lonely. We have the best friend we could ever have. And this is why we join ourselves to a church for fellowship. This is why you're very welcome here to come and testify of your faith in Jesus Christ, and we can have fellowship together in him. In Pilgrim's Progress, John Bunyan describes two men climbing over the wall from the broad way to join the narrow way. While John tells us in chapter 10, verse 1, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. The words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, John Bunyan wonderfully gives descriptive names to his characters. To one, he gives the name formalist, those who follow man-made religious worship, its formal rituals, the pomp and ceremony of robes, crosses, idols, candles, prayer beads, etc. To the other, he gave the name hypocrisy, outwardly religious, but not sincere in the Lord. No sincere turning from sin. Easy believism. Love Jesus without repentance. No repentance. No change of heart. And so we must examine our own approach. How tragic if we are like them, trying to climb over the wall. They wanted to go to heaven, to the celestial city, but they did not want to obey God's way. They did not want to come through the wicket gate, the straight gate, to the foot of the cross. They did not want to come in repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Formalist and hypocrisy, both religious, trying to obey God without faith in the Savior, both were hypocritical. They were trying to walk the narrow way, but unsuccessfully and unacceptably to God. Now, I'll go through a number of thoughts that we might have. Starting with the younger ones, you may claim, my parents are Christian, I am okay. No, you are climbing over the wall by claiming that as a way of getting into the narrow way. You may claim, I attend a Christian school, I am okay. No, you're climbing over the wall. You may claim, I attend church regularly or as often as I can. I am okay. No, you are climbing over the wall. It's good that you're here today. It's good that people are online hearing this message. But that is not enough. We have to respond to it. We cannot climb over the wall to be accepted. You may argue and claim, I am basically good. I am okay. No, you are climbing over the wall. This is not God's way. You may claim, I'm not as bad as others. I am okay. No, you are climbing over the wall. You may claim, I've been baptized, maybe as a baby, or even baptized as an adult. I take communion. No, you are climbing over the wall. These ordinances do not save you. They are a testimony of true belief, and they can be misused and abused. So be careful. You may even claim, I love Jesus, without true repentance. No, you are climbing over the wall. This is not God's way into the narrow way, the way that leads to heaven. So all these approaches are missing the God-appointed entrance, the narrow gate, that wicket gate that Bunyan spoke of. Formalists and hypocrisy never made it to heaven. And nor will we, if we're trying to come some other way, our own way. The Lord Jesus said, and further in the passage where I've taken the text from in verse 26, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Now, to do the will of the Father is to come God's way through the only door, the Lord Jesus Christ. So there is a broad way and there is a narrow way. Let us now consider where these two roads lead to. The Lord is very clear about the destiny of the two roads. The broad road leads to destruction, eternal, not annihilation, as some would claim or hope, but it leads into the hands of the eternal God and holy God to receive his holy wrath and fair judgment for our sin. He has made it very clear then, to die without true faith in the Saviour means that we must suffer God's wrath forever. No let up. It's too late once the end of time comes or we die. No mercy is available for us after that time. Hell is the destination of the broad road, and it is a very lonely place. There is no peace or companionship there. But happily, the narrow road leads to eternal heaven, into the holy presence of God. No more sin, sorrow, pain, sickness, sadness, or death. We enter into the holiness of God. Heaven, a place with many mansions, as we read, prepared by our God for our eternal joy and happiness. God has sent his own Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to make the narrow gate, I am the door, he said, to make it a reality for all who will come to him today. But the Lord Jesus also tells us that you can only receive this blessing by coming God's way through that strait and that narrow gate to the foot of the cross, through repentance and faith in what Christ has done on Calvary. Do not try to climb over the wall. It does not work. Go back to the wicket gate, the foot of the cross. In Luke 13, 24, 25, we read that the Lord Jesus said, strive to enter in at the strait gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. When once the master of the house is risen up and hath shut the door, and ye begin to stand without and knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto thee, I know you not. Whence are ye? What a serious plight to be in. What solemn words. To be shut out at the end of time. Not known as a true believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus then is asking us now, nay, he is using his sovereign authority as the Savior of lost sinners to command you to come now, that you may enter through this gate, this straight gate, without delay. Today, it could well be too late tomorrow. Behold, now is the day of salvation. So the Lord in our text has clearly taught us of two ways and their different destinations. The broad way, which has the destination of destruction, hell, eternal separation from God, to live under the wrath of God eternally. Or the narrow way, the way of forgiveness, leading to eternal joy and everlasting peace with God. Entered only by the straight and narrow gate, the Lord Jesus Christ, who died on the cross, that glorious gospel message which calls us to repentance and faith in his substitutionary death on the cross. Did he die for you? Do you believe that? Are your sins so bad in your heart, in your thinking, that you need relief as Pilgrim did? He came to the foot of the cross. He believed. His burden was taken away. Our prayer is that you will hear God's call to come and enter the narrow way through that wicket gate, that narrow gate, to be saved for all eternity. And we plead with you, come now.